Hello, and welcome to the Funny Stop Podcast. We've been looking for new openings to the show because we didn't have any music and it felt awkward. Matt's not around, and all I've been doing is going through stock sounds to try and find something that'll work and we won't get sued for. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Funny Stop Podcast, the official podcast of the Funny Stop Comedy Club. I'm your host, Matt Brady, and joined with me as always is my co-host.
What's up?
That's Devin Connor, and the guest we have this week is actually a pretty special guest. He's headlined the Funny Stop multiple times. He's been working at the Funny Stop a long time. He's also Devin's dad.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Funny Stop people.
That's Marv Connor. Marv, first off, we have to know,
how'd you get your start in gay porn?
Well, actually, Gallagher said you always have to have a dick joke ready. And that's how I got started in gay porn, because the way I perform gay disappoints everybody.
Why you say Gallagher?
Because he gives me all of my advice and everything I've ever done in my career.
Oh, I know. I remember, I think it was last week when Gallagher was at the Funny Stop and you hosted for him, right? You emceed?
And he said, you always have to have a dick joke ready, as he was stuffing a banana in his pants that had a wiener inside of it. I think that's true comedy genius right there.
Well, I mean, when I saw him, he was kind of a dick. And he wasn't very funny.
In my humble opinion, you were right, sir. It was a dick.
You don't need to be humble about it. You emceed. You worked. Not for him, but you...
We don't represent the views of the Funny Stuff comedy, right?
No, we don't. But, I mean, when the Funny Stuff has to make a public statement saying, like, we'll offer refunds and we apologize, I think it's pretty fair to say that we can all say that he was a dick.
He was a dick.
I concur.
Yeah, he was... what'd he do on the first show? First show on Friday?
He ran it till probably 10:15. Funny Stuff Comedy Club shows on the weekends usually end close to 9:30. So if you're bringing a date... you can make sure you get there. Show starts at 8. They usually promptly end near 9:30 or 9:45. 9:45 is a little bit on the long end because they like to make time for them to be able to clean up for the second show. So, in effect, if you run your first show over towards 10:15, especially if you're smashing fruit, you don't give the staff time to clean up, which makes you an asshole.
Well, I mean, if you... gonna
smashing fruit.
If you're smashing fruit, you're supposed to smash fruit, but considering he didn't even smash fruit, right?
He did Friday.
Saturday.
Did Friday. Saturday.
Early show, he walked off the stage.
And why'd he walk off the stage?
A girl got a funnier joke in than he did, and it made him angry.
So?
He had this shirt that he cuts out, and the girl puts her head through it, and her arms to the legs. And he said, would you wear this? She said, no, I wouldn't wear that. And he goes, why wouldn't you wear it? He says, because it has a skid mark in the front. And the crowd loved it, and he says, get the shirt off, ripped it off her head, and made her go back to the audience.
The shirt that he's like, referring to was actually a pair of like underwear that he calls a shirt, right?
Right, it's underwear that he cuts a hole out in the middle.
And he,
Now, this was going on, this was like 2 hours into the first show, would you say?
Yes.
What's up, 9:45, or was it 9:30?
It was actually 10:15 at this point.
10:15, okay.
Yeah, and he started smashing fruit.
So it was like a 2 hour, 15 minute, like, since nobody got their release, nobody got to see what they wanted to see with him smashing the fruit. It was like Gallagher's entertainment version of, like, tantric sex. Well, just nobody gets their nut.
Gallagher didn't smash the fruit, and audience member got kind of pissed off and went up there and started smashing it, right?
A couple guys grabbed the sledge automatic and smashed a plate of SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs, very good food to smash if you want to make a mess, because it did make a mess.
This is why, like, I never consider comedy to be an art form or anything. Like, if you can make people laugh at dick, fart, you know what I mean, poop jokes, and then this guy's making a living at 68 or some shit, smashing plates of SpaghettiOs.
He's the smartest man you'll ever meet.
Yeah, he's a racist. But the reason I bring it up is because I went to the shows and I was hanging with you, Marv.
Yes.
And you had, every time I see you, you always have a joke and stuff. You always have a good mood. You were in a bad mood that night.
I was embarrassed.
And you... I'm not going
to... I was embarrassed to be part of it.
Yeah, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but I could tell, like, your face, your demeanor, and what you were saying, you were not happy. No. And it was not the club's fault or anything. It was 100% Gallagher's, like, personality and the way he carried himself.
You know, there's so many clips of him. You'd think we would know, but there's nothing that gives you the essence of his actual bile and hatred towards his own audience.
Mm-hmm.
Than knowing him in person, because he did not like his fans. He expressed that several times, how he thought his fans were idiots, there's no joy in working for somebody like that, with someone. But the crowd, I'll give the crowd this, the crowd loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the crowd was going nuts, applauding and loving the guy. And even when he walked off, a lot of people originally wanted to blame the club for that. The club had no control. It was just Gallagher being a diva.
Well, when I first started doing stand-up, I don't know if you remember the first time we met. It was at the Vortex.
Yeah.
And I remember I like quit halfway through my set, and I was going to quit. And that's when I ran into Chris Clem, who's a headliner now. Real good dude, but he didn't really like me. But you were the only comic that was nice to me and the advice you gave me. So the only reason I bring up Gallagher is because I'm watching this guy. He's been doing it for 30, 40 years or whatever. And I'm watching him like, this is the most unprofessional shit I've ever seen, the way he's treating it. And then I have you, the guy that gives all the newer comics advice and actually sit down and work with them. And then you go and basically do what you say, and it works.
Well, I am trying to ruin you guys so I get all the work.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah. It's really happening.
So Gallagher offered advice the first day. He said, if you're going to come early tomorrow, as he's putting a banana in his pants, I'll help you with your act. And we're both, the feature and I are both like, we're probably not going to show up for that.
I mean, what's he going to teach you, though, you know?
He was going to help us straighten our act out. But he wasn't going to get to see our act because he didn't want us to do any time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I don't want people to use words in front of me. Because I use words, and you might use the same words I want.
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds super reasonable.
Like, does this guy, like, not understand that there's so many words you can use in English? Like,
I did 13 Showtime specials. I'm a genius. I'm the smartest person you ever meet.
I told you about when I found those. I found that, like, 13-disc box set at the thrift store of every Gallagher special, and I didn't buy it because they said $10 was too much. I swear to God, I didn't buy it. And we went to the club, and I saw so many comics watch a show complain, like, I'm leaving, this is not worth it. And there's people that are dropping, you know, we saw the one thing, because when we were sitting at the club, somebody had a receipt, and it was an $82 bar receipt. Somebody spent $82 on the bar. That was one couple.
It's a good night out, man.
But I'm saying, like, that's what people
were
spending.
That's a reasonable amount to drink if you're watching Gallagher, though.
Yeah, and he's...
Well, you got to remember, it was a three-hour show.
Well, when you...
So that, what is that by the hour, then? You're looking at only $30 an hour.
Only $30.
Most people only stay there an hour and a half.
I think they're just getting drunk to forget it, because his stuff was horrible. But I'm saying, though, like, with you, where'd you get your start, Marv?
I started at Hilarities, which used to be the Funny Stop. In 1998, I just got fired from coaching high school basketball because I didn't win, which is a bit popular thing in coaching. You don't win, you get fired. So I said, I always wanted to be a comedian. So I went to the Funny Stop, and they had a class with a guy named Mike Veneman. Mm-hmm. It was called Comedy 101. And you signed up with him, and he took you aside and helped you write jokes and teach you how to use the microphone and basically the etiquette of how to be a comedian.
When you say he taught you how to, like, write jokes, what was his formulaic stuff that he laid out, like punchlines, setup, tags, stuff like that, and how to formulate them out? Or?
Yeah. I mean, he said there should be a twist and a surprise, but he gave us a notebook, which I still have there. And a lot of it was like, caption this picture, make a joke out of it. And then he would give us quizzes on... What does this mean? Like, what does the word pollute mean to you? And most people didn't. Like, he would say, see, in comedy, pollute would be like getting drunk, you're polluted.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't use polluted that way. So if you use polluted, he would teach us how to use words in a different way and look at comedy in a different way. And while he didn't, you know, in 6 weeks you can't learn that much, but he did talk to us about don't be so far out there that people can't believe something you're going to say is real. Because people will laugh when they think it was real and you twist it up. But if you come out like, I was going to do a bit about my penis talking to me. And he said, no, you probably shouldn't do that.
Well, that was 17 years ago is when you started comedy then, right?
15. No, wait, 1998.
Yeah, should be about 17.
17 years.
17?
February. I did it February 1998.
Okay, so it's been 17 years since you started.
Right.
And you've been around since then, like actively. I mean, you may not be doing open mics every... other nights, stuff like that, like we do, but we see you multiple times a week. And we always see you at the club hanging out.
Yeah, I live with them too. So.
And Devin lives with them. Really? But what I'm getting at is, like, since you see, I guess, how comedy changes within those 17 years, because comedy from 1998, if you go and watch comedy from 1998, like a special, to comedy now, it's different. Same thing with the 80s and the 70s.
I think it was beginning to evolve even back then, though, too. Because Seinfeld was huge when I started.
Yeah.
And Seinfeld was the observational comedian.
Yeah.
You never noticed that kind of stuff he did. And comedians now talk more about their lives and their personal experiences and what they're going through in every day instead of joke, joke, joke. There's not that many joke, joke comics anymore. Like a John Fox would come around and he's just joke after joke after joke, which is side-splitting and hilarious. If you ever get to see him, you just laugh so much. I do have a CD if you ever want to hear it. It's really funny. But comedy's not like that anymore. Now comedy is. You're talking about experiences in your life and putting punchlines in there. The improv used to be, and you guys don't even know this experience, used to have a Wednesday every morning. Every Wednesday you go up and you would meet with Lee Herlins and he would work with you on your act. and he was the guy that ran the improv amateur nights. Mm-hmm. And that'd be once a month on Wednesday night, you'd go up and do an amateur show at the improv. And that evolved. Ryan Dalton would be there.
Ryan just moved to L.A.
Did he? I didn't know he moved.
Yeah, Ryan. It's either this week or next week. He's moved to L.A.
Chris Hedges.
Chris is working big now, yeah.
They're either out on the road or they're not in comedy anymore, pretty much. Ray DeVito was in New York. All these guys were out of these clubs that we were going to. And the clubs, there was one called No Excuses over near Great Northern Mall. Mm-hmm. That was really, only place to compare that now is probably Stone Tavern.
Yeah.
That was like that in Cleveland every Thursday night. You go up there and you try comedy. And it was always full of comedians. It was always a good time.
That's another thing I want to talk about.
We had rooms. It's just not... You guys seem to have more.
Well, that's the thing me and Devin were talking about earlier. There's a local comic. Well, I don't know how new he is. I've been doing Akron in the area for like a little over 3 years. So I know most of the cats. I don't really know this guy. I know him, but I don't know him. You get what I mean? Like, I've met him in passing twice.
Who's that?
I don't want to say his name.
Okay.
It's nothing personal. There's no reason.
Bill Squire started with us, too.
Well, I'm saying there's no reason to bring this guy's name up, but... Okay. The reason I'm bringing it up, though, is because you said there's so many rooms and shit now and a vibrant scene and all this stuff. This is the thing I got with Pete that owns the Funny Stop, is that when you have so many of these shows popping up in the area, you oversaturate, like, the market. So the product that you're selling now is essentially worthless because, like, why would I want to go to, say, a club and see a polished act for, you know, whatever money in a room that's conducive to comedy when I can go down the street, see basically the same guys on a bar for free? But then if that bar show is bad, why in the hell, as an audience member, why would I want to see...
That's what Pete's afraid of. But what happens is, I don't think an audience ever says a bar show is equivalent to a comedy club.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that either. But at the same time, like, I have...
Yeah, and I think Akron's a kind of a bigger area than we give it credit for right now. Having one club and only a couple monthly independent shows...
But those shows are showcases, though. They're paid shows. They showcase that.
That's a big difference now. Almost everything in Cleveland, I shouldn't say everything, used to be everything was open mic, show up, go up.
Yeah.
That's all it was. If you wanted to go perform, you got to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to book ahead of time. And it's a lot more controlled. It's not quite the Wild Wild West it used to be.
Well, that's why I run my show as a book. Like, I have to find you or you have to come find me. And the reason I do that is because you knew that. I ran an open mic for over a year at the Karma one in downtown,
right,
which would be a pretty full room at times for an open mic. It would pack.
Right.
But we would see guys go up there, and you were just like, that guy is horrible, and he's just talking about, you know, his dick and how he hates God and religion, and it's like the whole audience is turned off, and people are leaving. You're losing business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would do a showcase, that's my whole point. So. I'm saying,
you definitely love that, like the control. You can determine if it's going to be a good show or not.
Yeah, like I'll know. Like that guy, I know his act, and before I talk to all the comics and stuff. But what I'm saying is that I think it oversaturates it, and at times people think what they see on TV, they see the edgy guys saying these, Louis C.K. talking about his dick and his little daughters. He calls it her pussy and shit and cunt. So you see all these guys thinking they can get away with it. So in the late 90s, was that how people were starting, or was that just you saw comedy go in that direction?
No, it was a lot more.
That was TV comedy mostly in that era, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was TV. You didn't know who Bill Hicks was. The mainstream didn't know. Like, he didn't make it big till after he died in America. Mm-hmm. He was huge in England because England always appreciated him. Like a guy like Gallagher never made it in England.
Yeah,
because they don't like that kind of comedy. I'm not saying Americans aren't the smartest people in England. What I'm saying is...
Drier humor.
Yeah, their comedy taste in America... I'll put it like this, and I don't think this is a big... I think I can say this. I made a big video in 2008. Got like 1.5 million hits with Mike Paul. It was a video called American Gladiator, Reject Auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike basically described me. He wanted to try something, put red, white, and blue in it, put some... hillbilly sound people in it and see how America likes it. And America loved it. But he said that, and I think it explains why Act Like Gallagher is so popular. When some people just want that simpleness that just falls out laughter and I'm just going to go with it and not think. There's no subtlety to it. just hit him over the head with your jokes.
That's what people say about sitcoms like Big Bang Theory. You can just shut your brain off, enjoy it, just laughter. You hear the laughter. You don't have to laugh because you know, oh, well, people are laughing. It's
I think that's okay. I think the problem that some, that I mean with Gallagher, is that sometimes when you're preaching about the simplicity of what you're saying, sometimes he's saying a lot more about the culture as a whole.
Oh, he was on the attack.
Yeah. That's, wow. And that's
no
what
one's funny anymore.
No one's funny. He said a lot of homophobic things. He said a lot of racist stuff by me, I didn't get it till later.
When I started thinking about it, I go, that was cool.
Well, they're street jokes, remember?
No. This food cocktail was homosexuals, and this cabbage is Chinese food. I'm going to smash them. You know, that's...
the smashing was not to pick up the pieces and mush them back together as a homogenous...
He's not paying attention. He's a smashing fruit cocktail in Chinese food. But the way he presented it was he was smashing homosexuals and Chinese people.
Yeah, well...
Well, yeah, but how else are you going to do it besides with a hammer?
That's true.
That's, you know, it's like a justice's gavel.
You didn't get it because he's smart.
He's a superhero dispensing justice.
I smash food. And I think that's easy to fall into where you don't really pick up on. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have a message with it, but I think he does. In my opinion, he does.
Do you have that internet article, or can you describe the internet article that we were reading? It was a review of a show he did in L.A. because it was absolutely hilarious.
I can get it on my phone. Here.
Well, we can... Well, I'll basically kind of... Yeah, if you could pull it up, do that. But basically the... Oh, okay, well, whatever. I'll just talk... Basically, the article is talking about it, and it's... It's somebody who's at the show, right?
Right, it was a reviewer.
Yeah, it was a reviewer of the show, and at this show, they're basically saying it was a show for an all-Hispanic crowd, basically, in Los Angeles, and they expected thousands of people to show up. It was a couple hundred. So a couple hundred people... And Gallagher has a guy come out dressed as a burrito, starts dancing. That's how the show opens up. And then he kind of starts trying to mix in like five or six Spanish words throughout the whole thing and mixing it with English to try and connect with Spanish-speaking people,
what?
Which made him just sound ignorant as hell because it's like he took the time to learn like five words. But if you're going to try and speak somebody's like native tongue, you can't just mix in five words. That's such an obvious oversimplification of somebody's culture that might not be insulting, but the rest of the shit he did was. Because all the stuff he started smashing, he only started smashing like...
He did it not to insult. He really thought this was going to go over big with the Latino community.
Like, he thought this was going to be his like breakout with the Latino community. And he only smashed... He smashed like, what? Corns and beans and...
Well, I could probably do an Arabic audience because I can speak a few Arabic words.
Smash some hummus.
Smash some hummus.
Crumple up pita chips.
And that's the thing too. Is he feels like they're all there to hear his profound thoughts and his inventions and that. From what I saw, is people only came to see him smash food.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I think that's probably what leads to a lot of the bitterness is that he's like, I'm saying all this shit, and you just want to see me with the hammer again, don't you?
And then he teased him with it. Like, he'd come up, he'd hold it, and then he wouldn't smash anything, and the crowd would get on the edge of their seats, just like you said, tantric sex, huh?
But, I mean, that does bring up a point. His audience is a bunch of idiots, and, like, his fans.
Tantric
like
sex with Gallagher.
But, I'm saying, if you're getting that excited for a dude to pick up a prop, like, who are you to, like, have an opinion about comedy or anything?
I don't know that if you're an audience member that you have to have a opinion.
But I'm saying, like, a fan.
You just want to have a good time.
But, no, I understand that, but I'm saying when
I
we...
I don't say they're idiots. I just think they remembered a good time. He wasn't like this... I can't say for sure. I have to go back and watch an old show. When you watch his old shows, he was funny. He was smart. And then he smashed fruit and stuff, and that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think that's why most people go see him and they remember Gallagher from 30 years ago.
The simpler time, well, you say, like nostalgia?
When he did his TV appearance, like local TV news appearance, what he talked about, he basically just said, the whole point of smashing the fruit is that it's just, you know, you don't have to have some opinion about every single... You just do it and you just have fun. It's about having fun. Yeah, and he's saying it's about having fun. But then when he does the show, he goes, these are gays... These are this group of people. I'm going to smash him with a hammer. That's not just fun.
No.
That was like him making a point. So the whole thing he talks about where he's like, it's just a lot of fun. You're just hitting stuff with a hammer because that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid. That's good.
Later on when he starts describing everything he's
Yeah,
smashing.
That's stupid fun, which, whatever. If you like stupid fun, you like stupid fun. That shouldn't be something that somebody gets upset about.
I didn't even get it until his second show Friday. I mean, I'm sitting there watching the first show, I'm laughing and that. And the second show, I don't remember which show, he ate dog food and spit on the people.
What?
Yeah. And I said, that's too far for me. I can't. To spit dog food out on people.
Must have been watching like Viva La Bam or something.
Well, that's a thing though. Is like when I was asking when comedy first started. I knew he's been around for a while. Not about him, but like I think now people are getting smarter and more poignant in what they say, and like that's like the lowest common denominator thing is to like physically do that. Like that's not funny. To like spit
There's
on people.
There's long been a battle between prop comedians and.
Well, I'm not saying that's prop comedian. I'm saying
real
it's
comedians.
Like.
Slam.
No, I'm saying
slam.
Like,
I said it.
If we came out there and we now like because we do stand up and we decided to do not prop comedy but like that type of stuff, dude. The stuff I see some headliners do, and it's not like wow he's good he can get away with it. It's like, dude, if you started stand up now and you were doing that act, I guarantee it would not sell. And these aren't big name guys. I've seen some very small guys I've never even heard of and women I've never heard of, and I'm just like, holy shit.
Well,
how
that,
does people
that
pay
gets
for this?
Into the conversation. Oh, hacks kill.
Yes, they do. I found that out
hacks
a while back.
Hacks kill, and they kill all the time. And people will say how much they love to hear a hack comedian doing hack stuff. And who am I to call someone a hack? I'm nobody special. I do mostly dick jokes, and I'm fine with that. That's my legacy in comedy. I'm a dick joke comedian. Sometimes I try to work away from him, but I always end up with a new dick joke.
It's true. Almost everything he says.
It is. But it's fun, though. It's not your jokes that people like, I'd say, per se. It's your attitude and your personality. Like, you're a nice guy to everybody. I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about you. But I'm saying, like, your act is funny, too. I watch you all the time. I have a good time on stage.
That's what I want. I want to have a good time. I want to make people laugh. That's what I want to do.
And he wants to do it by bringing up male genitals.
Dicks. I mean, dicks are funny.
I bring up female genitals, but it never goes as well.
He does.
Well, dick jokes are just, you know, guy pussy jokes, you know?
When I bring up the female genitals, there seems to be a split in the audience.
Well, if you're a girl... Okay, you're a dick. That's funny. That took me a minute.
He's going to pass that up.
I know. It hit me. That was a very smart Gallagher joke. Yeah. It took me a second show to get that one.
I'm the smartest guy you ever meet.
You are. That brings up a point, though. I don't hate female comics. I don't hate women or anything. But there is a double standard for that, and I talk about it all the time, where if a guy does a dick joke or talks about a vulgar one, like, you know, I had ejaculated on this girl's face or whatever, now you're labeled a dirty comic, blue comic, edgy, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of times when I've seen, like, every girl when they start, I've seen this multiple times. They come out there and like, yeah, my pussy, you know, I was blowing this dude, I was sucking it, and they're just being vulgar and really graphic. But if a guy does that, it comes off as, like, just, he's nasty. I don't
you
like
think-
it.
See, I think the opposite. I think they get more blamed for being like that.
Well, it's because, and it's a
you
lot of women
they
do that.
Get away with it more?
Oh, they do 100%.
Huh.
There was a prime example just the other day. We were, Devin, when we were up in Parma doing that show, you guys left, you didn't stick around, but did you see that one girl comic that was waiting in the back of the room to go up on the open mic?
Huh.
Okay, she was sitting by
Wait,
herself.
Wait, was she the dark haired girl?
Dark haired, small girl. She brought a bunch of her friends and stuff, which is cool, man. You got friends supporting you and stuff. I leaned over to my one friend who's a girl. She doesn't do stand-up. But I said, hey, I've never seen this girl. I've never known. I know she's going to do this, 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 and this. She hit three out of the four topics, I said. And the girl that I was hanging out with, she leans over and she goes, man, I've heard all those jokes before and I've never seen her before. But she's not a comic, the girl that said that. So a lot of that stuff is, and I see a lot of guys say that. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's such a weird thing now to see a lot of these headliners with their acts, which sell because they're better at it. But a lot of the times the material's not there. So I see a lot of comics that start out, they just do graphic and edgy. They go for the shock value rather than the sell the joke and be funny or do anything.
Right.
Is have you noticed that? Because you hang out a lot and just watch.
See, you got to be funny as you're saying it because that's the hard part of being graphic and shocking. Like, it can't be too shocking that people don't want to hear it. You have to say it and present it in a way that makes it acceptable. And that's why I got a lot of help from a guy named Chili Childs to talk to me. He'll say, you know, Maybe if you tell your jokes like, hey, my wife and I have a contest who can gross each other out. Now I can do this joke as a relationship joke between my wife and I, and I can say much worse things than I could if I just said the joke.
See, that's kind of the issue. It's similar to the issue that I've been running into. Son of a bitch!
Who's calling?
Sister-in-law? Your mother's sister.
Mute that.
I can't mute it.
You can.
I don't think you can. Sorry. See, this is a live podcast, people.
Yeah, where's your secretary when you need her?
I bet mom fell asleep. Let's go on.
Probably. Shout out to my mom upstairs watching NCIS LA.
That's right. She knows how to kill you in so many ways.
Well, so that's out there.
what were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was just going to say it's really similar to the problem I've been having. You know, trying to make what people perceive as a dirty joke funny. Because I've been trying to figure out this 35-minute bit about putting toy soldiers in my asshole.
35-minute bit about toy soldiers in your butt.
None of that's true.
Okay.
I just wanna go.
About to drop a tight 35 about my butthole.
Go.
It's only one topic.
It's gonna be like World War One. All the soldiers are fighting in a trench.
The battle of my bulge.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Deeper.
Trench warfare.
Just know if
corn.
You ever...
The trench is my gooch.
Yeah, you're just going to hear fire in the hole and hear him, ooh. If you really do a bit about that, I'm just going to be like, you stole my bit. I'm offended.
Well,
right
I
now.
Like to speak from personal experience, so obviously I have
obviously
like
a lot of people had army men up their ass.
I'm just going to...
I mean, he's your son. How many RNs you pull out of his ass? How many guys did you pull out of his ass?
My son, the stories he tells me amazes me, man. Like, that happened in this house where I live?
I just want to give a quick, like, disclaimer. Nothing to do with army men in my or anyone that I know's ass has ever come up.
So do you
and
not
I
support?
I purely made that up for this.
So you're saying you're a homophobe? You don't support gay
I don't
rights?
Think that's the same thing as not putting army men in my butt.
It's don't ask, don't tell.
Well, no, I have gay friends that have had sex with army men. They support the troops. You un-American homophobic son of a bitch.
There you go.
I hope you get a bomb
nice.
Put up your butt.
Nice.
I hope you get a bomb dog.
That's some quality comedy material, gentlemen.
Weirdest gig, real quick. What was your weirdest gig? Weirdest, best, worst,
worst
whatever.
Time bar and grill. It was a biker kind of bar. And I walked in, and there was a guy and a woman having sex in the front steps. And it was very awkward. Because I was doing my set, they were still having sex out front, which kept most of the people's attention in the bar away from my set, which I don't think it helped my comedy at all. But I made fun of it, too. But then when they came in, the guy who was having sex come up in front of Brad, who was the headliner, and just... stood there and started screwing with him, and Brad started teasing him, going, what is that? He goes, who's that? Were you the one having sex? He goes, yeah, I was having sex with your woman, your wife. That's what he said to Brad. And Brad goes, oh, that's funny. I don't remember my wife being such an ugly skank.
That's kind of funny.
And then he started teasing the guy about riding a big wheel in the parking lot. And the guy and all the other bikers started harassing him then, and the guy just left in shame.
So wait, they're having sex out in the public, like out in the middle?
Oh, yeah, right on the front steps, right on the steps.
Like full-blown sex, or was it they're trying to hide
it
a little?
They were...
Why in the hell did you take that gig?
Well, I was starting out. I didn't get paid. I was an open micer. I wanted stage time.
Well, I mean,
you do stage time where people have sex? I would.
I had a dude pull his dick out on me to heckle me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think I told this on here, right?
Yeah, you have.
Funny stop, there was a fight. I wasn't on the show. It was a beginning comic, and Pete had a rule that you couldn't say the F word, and he got up and starts going, you know, fuck, who wants to hear me say fuck? It was kind of like what happened to Joe D's, right?
Yeah.
And the guy got up, and Pete turned off the mic, and the guy got mad, and they had to throw him out, and the guy punched a bartender who used to be named Carl, but his girlfriend was in between them, so he punched around his girlfriend to punch Carl in the face, and then he ran off. It was funny because he jumped in his
truck, and there's a McDonald's there, and there's like a wall that separates. The guy didn't realize that the road ended there, and he drove straight over that wall into the McDonald's parking lot. And the cops put him over down the road, but Pete didn't press charges. So.
There's a lot of wackos.
He drove over the wall. It probably screwed his truck up a little. I don't know.
That's pretty ridiculous.
There's a lot of weird idiots when it comes to like comedy and shit like that, though.
There's a lot of weird idiots all over, yeah, though.
But for some reason, comedy attracts a lot of them, man.
So like, everyone's like, I'm being silly. And the guy's like, I'm silly. See me playing with my...
Dude, that's only one of them. I've had multiple stuff like that. But wow. It's not me like...
Maybe you're so attractive is what it is.
I don't know, man.
Maybe the redhead thing.
I don't know, that dude, he was already ready to go. There's another one of the...
Fully torqued.
Yeah, the dogs, people bring dogs to some bar shows. You know what I'm talking about? People, yeah, have their dogs howling.
I've seen
that
plenty of times. I haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of dogs.
Yeah, it's just, like, those rooms, are those like...
Oh, I do in Kent, yeah.
Well, I'm not, well, we not
did
just
the
Kent.
One, we did the one open mic where you were allowed to smoke in the bar, which, yeah, anybody who knows anything about Ohio, not legal.
No.
Not
at all.
Yeah, we won't mention, no, that one.
But, well, we're not going to.
That was the, yeah. That was the biker lady, because I closed the show out. I didn't want to do it. I was just talking to her. Remember that little, yeah, drunk biker lady came up, pulled her tits out on me. Little flapjack biscuit, man, pulled them out on me like that. Started dancing on me, and she thought I was the DJ asking me to play music. And then remember, she went over to that Golden Tee arcade machine and was trying to pick songs. And I was just like, dude, because I just put the mic stand and, yeah, walked off, and she started singing like Led Zeppelin,
yeah,
to herself.
I took the mic from her. I didn't want to get broken.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm done, man.
All right, man, a good time, guys.
Some silly, silly people out there.
I hope your listeners love it.
Hope you silly people like it.
Now I'm going to smash some fruit. Anybody? Anything?
Topical. All
right.
All right, you've been listening to the Funny Stop Podcast. Funny Stop Comedy Club can be found at 1757 State Street, Cuyahoga Falls. The phone number is 330-923-4700. That is 330-923-4700. Call for tickets.
You might be able to see one of us up there. I
Chris
don't know.
Clem's there next week.
Chris Clem's going to be
Our
there.
Good,
he's going
to
be on.
Good buddy Chris Clem. There's going to be a good old time. We're going to try to get Chris Clem on the podcast in a little bit here. And we're going to ask Chris, what's Chicago like? Because he used to live here, but now he lives in Chicago. We're going to have fun.